Campus FM jippreżenta 50 u waħda. L-istorja ta' Malta tul dawn l-aħħar 50 sena mingħajr il-Malta Historical Society. Prezentazzjoni u produzzjoni Sergio Grech. Insalmulkom u nilqawkom għal programm ieħor minn din is-sensiela 50 u waħda. Matul din is-sensiela qegħdin nisimgħu il-lectures li ġew preżentati mill-Malta Historical Society fl-okkażjoni tal-50 anniversarju mill-kisba tal-indipendenza ta' Malta. Fl-ewwel parti tal-programm tagħna nisimgħu il-Professur Ellen Dejdun jitkellem dwar l-ambjent matul dawn l-aħħar 50 sena. Sa ċertu punt ukoll dan huwa suġġett ġdid, suġġett li bla dubju ta' xejn għadna laqas bdejna nikdbu dwar. Sawru xi xogħlijiet, però żgur li hemm spazju għal storja iktar dettaljata tal-ambjent f'Malta.
So, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Before starting off this presentation, I must profess I have quite a hard task, and this for a number of reasons. Possibly the youngest on the panel today, so I've read about independence, obviously, in a number of books, and I'm probably the least qualified to speak about the impact of independence. Secondly, it's the thematic in question, the environment. As you might be aware, environment is a wide-ranging topic. Actually, the word environment in English comes from the French environnement. So, as Professor De Pasquale might might confirm, which is to surround. Okay, so everything around us can qualify, can fall within this wide-ranging thematic. So within 15 minutes, probably I'll try to squeeze in a bit more, I'll try to give you a kaleidoscopic view of what developments there have been on this thematic, okay? So, starting off, there have been a number of seminal figures, as you might be aware, where the environment is involved. I've listed here a few. Normally when you list individuals, you end up doing injustice to others, okay? So by far, this is not an exhaustive list. And I've limited myself to the departed, okay? So as not to risk, okay, doing an injustice with people who are still very active at university. And you might be aware of some of them, okay? But I'm not listing any of them so that I don't risk keeping anybody out, okay? So botanist Stefano Zerafa, who described our national plant, one of our endemics, okay, with Nettle Bahar. Gavino Gulia, John J. Borge from Algotti Gardens, fisheries where people like of Giuseppe Despot's fame, ornithology, considered to be the father of local ornithology, Antonish Cambry, entomology, Anthony Valletta, and so many more. I've listed him here as seminal figures. I've put also a photo of Sir Temis Amit, even though he's not listed there, and perhaps he wasn't that linked with environment as we understand it today, but he affected a lot through his scientific techniques. I believe he instilled a sense of professionalism in the way that research was being conducted. We'll skim through this. This is a list of how the environment featured in different cabinets since 1921 to date. Between 1921 and 1981, no ministry was dedicated to the environment. Between 1921, when Malta had the first cabinet, okay, to 1981, there was no ministry, no ad hoc ministry dedicated to the environment. The first one was spanned between 1981 and September 1983 under Vince Moran, Health and Environment. So immediately, quite a utilitarian view to the environment. The Maltese always look at the environment, perceive the environment as something which is close to human health, okay? So not in an abstract view, okay? As perhaps northern cultures view it, okay? So linked intrinsically with health. Again, between 1983 and 1984, again, between 1984 and 1987, 1987, 1990, no ministry, 1990 to 1992, there was the first ministry dedicated solely to the environment, okay? Under Stelle Zamit, 1992, 1986, there was both a minister and a parliamentary secretary dedicated to the environment. And then from then on, with the exception of the 2003-2004, the environment always featured nowadays, obviously, with climate change being so topical, it's incorporated, obviously, with the thematic of climate change and sustainable development. This is, yes, the cabinet of the first ever cabinet of the Maltese Islands, to show you the ministries, if you can call them at that time, you know, so you can have an idea of the priorities, obviously, for the administration back then. Incidentally, education was always featured in Maltese cabinets, even in 1921. You had the birth of environmental NGOs, BirdLife, the Lathelwa, and the SSCN. Obviously, they weren't called in that way at that time. So I think the independence, this was one of the most welcome developments of independence, actually the birth of three environmental, highly active NGOs, high-profile NGOs still today. You've had the first cause for nature reserves to be set up. Obviously, Filfla, in the 60s, we had the first calls for target, for practice bombing to stop, to be set up as a nature reserve. It was actually the first marine reserve in Malta to be set up in 1987. And actually, it wasn't set up, the marine reserve, for environmental purposes, but for people not to collect the unexploded material, okay? The ordnance material. And incidentally, as an interesting anecdote, the designation was changed overnight, after less than 1 year, since a person linked to a particular politician actually was injured trying to collect ordnance on site. So he would have been taken to court in a high-profile case infringing the law, so the law was changed. The designation of Filfla was changed overnight, basically, because of this incident. The environmental movement in Malta, obviously, as happens in most sectors, it mirrored what was happening on the international scenario, but with a time lag of about 20, 30 years. So what was happening in the 50s with Rachel Carson, Silent Spring, and so on, reverberated over here in Malta, okay, in the 80s. You had the birth of the Green Party, okay, and obviously the Green Party always played a marginal role, in fact, always less than 2%. Then you started having interesting developments, because in the, for instance, this is one of them. You had the joining together of five local councils to oppose a particular cement plant in Luas, a GUE area. And you had the first coalitions, action groups being formed of different types of different typologies, local councils with the church, with NGOs, and so on. This, I consider this to be the predecessor, obviously, of today's social media groups and the petition sites, which have proliferated all over the place, obviously. Rise in environmental pressures since independence, and a bit later when we started having more comprehensive statistics. And I've listed three or four big pressures, not all of the pressures we're facing, but the major ones, okay? Here you can have, you have an idea. I think the graph on the right is the most significant, showing you the percentage of different EU countries where artificial land makes up land cover. And you can see that a particular country has its graph stretching far to the right. They had actually to extend the graph for Malta, okay? So, because over 30% of the land cover is occupied by artificial land, 30%, whilst the EU average is about 5-6%, okay? So you might say we have the highest population density in the world. True, up to a certain extent, because Singapore has the highest population density in the world. They are on top of us, and still they have huge green areas. Huge green areas, okay? So tourism, big explosion in tourism. In 1965, we had about less than 50,000 tourists visiting our shores. Nowadays, the figure runs close to 1.5 million. Okay, so quite an increase. Demography, obviously, population. So you can see the exponential increase in population, even though it should start cooling off after 2005. So, but population, obviously, the demand for residential places and so on, okay, obviously is always there. Traffic. I was speaking to somebody about traffic, and we're basically saying how in a year you can expect to spend about 2 to 3 weeks in traffic. 2 to 3 weeks every year in traffic, stuck in a car. So, considering even weekends, okay? So if you consider only the Monday to Friday period, that the figure goes even higher, okay? It's a structure plan, Magna Carta for Regulating Development, 1990, compendium of 3-2-0 policies. It was intended to cover till for 20 years, to run for 20 years, but it's still active even though it's close to being replaced. And luckily, they did such a good job with the structure plan, such a comprehensive job with the structural plan, that nowadays, even this year, a few weeks ago, there was a development along the coast which was defeated on the basis of what was written in the structure plan, so still valid today. The structure plan paved the way for the passing of two landmark pieces of environmental legislation, Development Planning Act and the Environment Planning Act, 1992, which in turn laid the foundation for the establishment of the Much Maligned Planning Authority in 1992, which is 1992. Then it formed MEPA, there was the merger in 2002, and we might have the demerger again, the separation. Okay? You had the local plans, 1992, revised 2006, and soon there should be a revision. The concept of subsidiarity. You have the rise of local councils, building on the concept of subsidiarity and devolution, okay? Obviously, it wasn't such a new concept, because before you had the civic councils in certain localities, such as Zurich, for example, Gozo Council. There is an increasing level of devolution, but local councils perceive the environment within their locality in quite an anomalous way, okay? So it's, they deal with, they administer projects related to landscape, road projects, and so on. It's other important milestones. I'm sorry I had to cram everything, but, you know, I made the premise in the beginning. EU accession, the EU has around 500 environmental directives, regulations, and decisions. Those had to be transposed into local legislation. Landmark ones, Habitats Directive, Birds Directive, EIA Directive. The EIA Directive has had a huge impact on developing procedures on the islands, okay? That's obviously, you have to go through the entire EIA procedure. Water Framework Directive, Baiting Water Quality Directive, and the most onerous of all, Malta's facing huge challenges to comply with this, is the Marine Strategy Framework Directive. Closing off of open landfills when we entered the EU, 1st May 2004, opening of three sewage treatment plants. Malta is normally gets the wooden spoon normally when it comes to the environment, but for sewage treatment, we're actually the only country that demand to treat 100% of our sewage. These are some infringements we got from the EU when it comes to the environment, so we're not always well-behaved. And some of our decisions actually affect other parts of the islands, other parts of Europe. You might say indirectly, because we shoot at migratory birds, but sometimes even indirectly. For instance, I think in the last few hours, a large consignment of finches was actually caught in Sicily, being live finches, being shipped to Malta, because they're fetching 100 euros each, these finches, to be used as decoys during the trapping season. So, you know, and these were caught in Italy. So we're having, news has traveled fast that the trapping in this, that the trapping season will open once again. Afforestation, less than 2% of the islands are covered by forest cover. Obviously, there was a trust by the knights and the British mainly in the form of gardens, the knights in the form of hunting reserves and so on. MISIP, 1970s, managed by the hunting lobby. Unfortunately, eucalyptus and acacia were the species of choice back then. They were used, unfortunately, also as a political tool, because within 5 years, they grow very fast. But nowadays, we know the environmental impact of these trees, okay, especially on things like the water table and so on. Nowadays, there's a lot of this famous tree for you campaign and other campaigns in various localities. Where are we now? According to a recent EU barometer study, have you ever heard the Maltese, the term biodiversity? Okay, the figure has gone down, luckily. Okay, however, still few know what the term actually means. Okay, 28%. Essa, again, this is other results from the Eurobarometer. I'm going a bit fast. Okay, the Maltese, you might say it's a bit strange, anomalous, but it seems that we're one of the nationalities, EU nationalities, where the environment, at least on paper, seems to be most important for the public. Okay, when the Maltese were queried, okay, about which issues, environment ranked quite high. Okay, Essa, this is a list of the protected areas in the Maltese Islands, covering around 13%. Okay, we're in line in terms of protection with other EU countries. Okay, obviously implementation and enforcement is another issue. Okay. These are the areas protected out at sea. We're protecting about 5% of our sea in marine protected areas, okay, at least on paper. there has been the rise of NIMBYism, not in my backyard, which is good as long as it is followed up, okay, on a national scale, because some people get involved in the environmental movement when a major development is happening in their street only. And in my opinion, flagship issues like hunting and trapping are eclipsing other environmental areas where no action has been, similarly has not been registered, such as when it comes to protection of our seas, okay, overfishing and so on. A lot of infringement is happening without we knowing what's actually happening in the field. Okay? So the first environmental concern for the Maltese is air pollution. Okay? Again, the link with health, human health. Second is urban problems, third is waste, fourth is water pollution, fifth is effect of chemicals on health. Okay? So this is what the Maltese just said in 2014. Okay? The waste separation figures are improving, okay? So I'm skipping through this. There has been a rise in installation of PV panels, solar water heaters through government initiatives, eco-gozo, mixed results, mainly linked to afforestation and renewable energy. And here I will reiterate my call to try to focus, rather than eco-gozo, on eco-comino, which in my opinion is much more feasible, given the small size, can be monitored, okay, and so on and so forth. Rise in corporate responsibility of banks and companies dedicated for environmental purposes, okay, without making names, we know all about these initiatives, okay. NGOs nowadays, joint membership from a learned guess, I think it stands at around 10,000 if you combine them together, okay, so still not that high in my opinion, okay. They are tapping EU funding opportunities through MUSEC. There has been a high profile, for example, Life Project by Nature Trust at Duera. Very active in site management. All NGOs have one or two sites or more, which they manage. Operating international programs in Malta, Blue Flag, Younger Partners. Partner with private entities, banks, the aquarium, and so on. I could mention the aquarium because it's the only one in Malta, so there's no competition, okay? Involve the public through a number of campaigns. Adopt a turtle. Obviously, they face chronic fundraising problems and very active in the media, okay? The role of academia. Academia has been essential in training staff within ministries, okay, within government entities and so on. There was, obviously, we need professional staff, okay? So academia, I had to pay tribute to academia here. There has been an increasing body of related militancia, dedicated. I've just put three examples here, but there's a lot, luckily. And every year we've got new books coming out, okay, on biodiversity. So the rise of biodiversity enthusiasts, and this is very promising, things like Malta Herpetological Society, so dealing with things like reptiles, amphibians, and so on, okay? Maltese wildflowering plants. This has been actually rated as one of the best flower identification sites in the world, okay? And most of these initiatives, I've put up the link where they are listed, okay? The rise of conservation groups, Fish for Tomorrow, Shark Lab, I've just put two examples, okay? The role of social media, these are just three Facebook community pages dealing with the environment, but there are hundreds in Malta, speaking just in Malta. Yes, I'm almost ready. Current environmental challenges, public access, meeting the EU's 2020 renewable energy obligations, addressing the waste problem, traffic volumes and their pollution, groundwater levels, obviously, and quality, land use and construction industry, and decoupling economic growth from energy use, okay? This is basically how much, okay, of government expenditure I've just put from 2004 to 2010, because this comes from the State of the Environment report, which is published every 3 years. Now we're waiting for the next one, because it should be in 2014, so these are the latest figures. And it shows that in the past decade, at least, on paper, government expenditure, where it comes to the environment, increased.
Sen nistuktaw issa il-programm tagħna billi anki f'dawn il-ġimgħat li ġejjin se ikollna l-opportunità li inqalbu ftit l-aħħar edizzjoni tal-Proceedings of History Week li ġiet midbuħa mill-Malta Historical Society. Kif tafu dan huwa impenn ieħor li s-Soċjetà Storika ta' Malta iżomm matul diversi snin nistgħu ngħidu anki minnhom ħarġet miniera kbira ta' informazzjoni u anki numru ta' kontributi lejn l-istorja tagħna u anki ħafna drabi fuq suġġetti li forsi mhux dejja anki jkunu trattati. Forsi suġġetti li anki għada pitada jqabdu l-abdit għal-iktar riċerka. Forsi l-artikli interessanti li għanna fl-aħħar ħarġa editjata minn Dr. Jonah Bela, Dr. Emanuel Buttigieġ u l-Professur Carmel Wassal huwa kontribut interessanti ħafna tal-Professur Konrad Tejk bit-tema ta' Influences of the Spanish Plateresque on Maltese Ecclesiastical Architecture. Issa nibdew anka bil-mod il-mod, forsi nitilqu minn definizzjoni tal-kelma plateresk għax naħseb forsi hemmhekk min qed jismagħna għanqal ħafna kursita.
Il-kelma plateresk bl-Ispanjol tfisser xogħol fil-fidda. Plater hija plater hija fidda. Jiġifieri fil-fatt il-kelma li storiċi tal-arti u l-arkitettura kienu ddefinixxu bħala plateresk hija dik it-tip ta' arkitettura li ikollok ċerta konċentrazzjoni ta' skultura ornamentali dekorattiva, normalment fil-faċċati ta' knejjes ma jistgħu palazzi wkoll, imma mhux li l-faċċata kollha tkun miksija bid-dekorazzjoni, imma pjuttost li tkun ikkonċentrata f'partijiet tal-faċċata. Jiġifieri għalhekk il-kelma plateresku b'għad fil-fatt l-Ispanjoli qed nitkellmu fl-epoka tar-Rinaxximent tardif, Rinaxximent tardif u l-bidu ta' qabel il-Barokk. F'dak il-perjodu, għax inti kellek perjodu tal-arkitettura Spanjola rinaxximentali, per esempio pal-Escorial, li kien qabel il-plateresku kien sever ħafna, kien oster, kien spartan ħafna. U l-idea nibtet milli wieħed jipprova jeżamina x'rabtiet seta' kien hemm, jew influenzi li seta' kien hemm, bej din it-tip dan is-stil ta' arkitettura dina fil-fatt issiba ħafna diffuża speċjalment fil-reġjuni ta' Kastilja, speċjalment Salamanka. Salamanka hemm diversi eżempji ta' tip ta' għandwek stil ta' arkitettura.
Kif daħlet allura din l-influenza Spanjola kif tispjega inti wkoll fil-kontribut tiegħek, aħna drajna meta nisimgħu fuq żmien l-ordni iktar fuq periti Italjani Franċiżi naf minn Valberga Zamondjon.
Kif tajjeb inti aħna normalment studjużi tal-istorja tal-arkitettura ffokajna ħafna konċentrajna ħafna fuq l-influenzi l-ewwel ta' inġiniera u arkitetti Italjani li fil-bidu ta' mal-miċċa tal-kavalleri fis-seklu 16 kienu all-avangwardja wkoll tal-xjenza tal-fortifikazzjonijiet, ma ninsawx ovvjament bħala arkitett, ħafna minnhom kienu inġiniera ċivili, inġiniera militari li ħadmu ta' arkitett ta' periti, ġifieri kisemmu Pietro Paolo Floriani, Francesco Bonamici, ġifieri dawn kollha kienu ġewgħu, ġifieri l-iktar bħala inġinier militari u bad ħadmu fil-qasam tal-arkitettura ċivili għandu hekk. U iktar ta' Franċiżi, Franċiżi l-arkitettura Franċiża, meta nżemmu bħal Medirko Blondel, François Mondon, de Mondion, dawn kienu fis-seklu Mondion fis-seklu l-bidu tas-seklu 18. Biss il-links għandu hekk ma' dawn l-influenzi Spanjoli huma ftit misturi sa. Naħseb jiena l-lingwa Spanjola fl-ordni kienet lingwa influenti ħafna, ġifieri biżejjed, wieħed jara l-pożizzjoni tal-Berġa ta' Kastilja, ġifieri u Leon, ġifieri kienet waħda mill-iktar sit importanti fil-belt.
Kif tispjegaħ inti allura dan
il-ħin? Li provajt nagħmel għax biex wieħed naħseb jagħmel riċerka fil-fond, wieħed irid ikun ikollu lingwa Spanjola, ikun fluent irid jagħmel ħafna anke riċerka f'arkivi ġewwa Spanja li dan jiman ix il-mezzi li namilom. Biss li provajt nara huwa kien hemm artikli fil-fatt bdejt il-paper billi sibt paper li kienet ġiet preżentata żmien twil ilu, kważi 50 sena ilu, fil-1900 hemmhekk nagħmel kongress tal-istorja tal-arkitettura hawnhekk kien hemm ċerta wieħed Alfonso Florenza li kiteb paper fejn mod isu iktar indikattiv ta' xi fehm li hemm ċerta influ, per eżempju, jieħdu l-każ per eżempju il-knejjes tagħna fil-ħafna mill-villaġġi u l-ħula tagħna li huma bżewġ kampnari tal-faċċata. antika hija influenza li ma tantx isibha fil-barokk Ruman, hija xi ħaġa pjuttost influenza Spanjola. Jekk qed jara kitbiet ta' studjużi, pereżempju l-iktar ktieb klassiku fuq l-istorja tal-arkitettura fl-Ispanja u l-Portugal huwa ta' George Kubler, li huwa ktieb li huwa classic work, u hemm diversi eżempji ta' dan tip ta' faċċati. U minn hemmhekk bdejt nipprova nara, u ma ninsowx ukoll li qabel il-kavallieri kienna l-perjodu tal-Aragonesi f'Pariżna, jiġifieri xi influenza kien hemm, issa din l-influenza se ġiet għandu hekk true il-vernakolar, jiġifieri jista' jkun int ċerta tip ta' dekorazzjoni, skultura fil-ġebla, ġifiri bl-Inglis at the artisan level, nitkellmu ġifiri bħala forsi mhix arkitettura with a capital A, kellek ċerta bej li kien hemm links kommerċjali, bej li forsi seta' kellek min ġi hawnhekk u ħadem ukoll, ġifiri hemm aspetti li jindikaw li seta' kien hemm ċerta influenza. Jiena li ffukajt l-iktar fuq xogħlijiet ta' Thomas Dingli, u preferenza għal knisja l-antika ta' Santa Maria ġewwa Birkirkara, ġifri qed ngħidu l-knisja l-qadima, u l-knisja ta' parroċċa ta' Tart, li huma l-iktar żewġ opri importanti ta' Thomas Dingli, għalkemm kellu xogħlijiet oħrajn li ma' żminijiet ġew alterati jew għandu hekk remodeled, pereżempju l-knisja tan-Naxxar kellha faċċata ta' Thomas Dingli li mbagħad twaqqet u saret dakora. Issa, fil-knisja, kemm il-faċċata tal-knisja ta' Santa Maria ta' Birkirkara u kemm f'dik ta' Ħattart, hemm ħafna fuq qed nitkellmu fuq binali stilistiċi, ġifieri il-kompożizzjoni tal-faċċata, il-konċentrazzjoni, pereżempju jekk qed jistudja, ovvjament ma nistgħux nuru xogħol xi ħaġa viżwali x'qed fuq ir-radju, ma wieħed jekk jistudja dekorazzjoni fil-ġebla, fil-kolonni, fil-gwarniċċa, fil-entebliċer tal-portal prinċipali tal-Knisja, pereżempju, jara ċerta xogħol isek litteralment ta' filigrano qed taħdem ġifieri anki l-lodda użata u kważi l-mod ta' interzjar fil-ġebla. L-ġebla Maltija, il-ġebla Franka, tagħti lok peress li hija ġebla mhux pjuttost tista' tinħadem, jiġifieri mhux ġebla jibsa, tagħti iktar żvok, iktar lok biex kollha din il-dekorazzjoni intensa. U hemmhekk insibu eżempji, jiġifieri anki pereżempju hemm fil-faċċata tal-Knisja ta' qadima ta' Birkirkara il-coat of arms li huma l-arbi tal-familja dettaljati ma f'ħafna u hemmhekk ippruvajt noħloq mod komparattiv eżempji Spanjoli nikkomparhom ma' dawn l-eżempji ta' Thomas Dingli biex nippruvaw nara biss ovvjament. L-intenzjoni tiegħi kien nipprova niftaħ il-bibien għal riċerkaturi oħrajn li jipprofondixxu meta jkollhom aċċess għall-arkivju u anki ovvjament dokumenti storiċi.
Għal l-edizzjoni tal-programm tagħna tal-lum se nifqgħu hawnhekk, però nkomplu nitkellmu iktar fid-dettall mal-professur tgħek fil-programm tal-ġimgħa li ġejja fejn anke tgħek wieħed ikompli jidħol ftit fuq dan is-suġġett bla dubju ta' xejn eċitanti. Smajtu 51, program fuq Campus FM li ġib lilkom mill-Malta Historical Society. Prezentazzjoni, produzzjoni, Sergio Grech.